Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 129 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm super excited to bring you this episode with Philip and Yvette Helberg from Helberg Barbecue in Waco, Texas. This one is a long one, but it's a great one. It's interesting to hear Philip's journey and as well as Yvette's journey, but Philip's journey from Texas to California and then back to Texas. And if you are just listening to the podcast, I do a YouTube version of all of these. So if you want to shoot over to YouTube when you get a chance and check it out, it's cool because his young son, Wayne, is sitting on his lap. His baby is sitting on his lap. And then that's how Yvette gets drawn into the interview. She's in the background at the beginning and then she gets drawn in. And it's really great to see their dynamic and learn more about their story. And you get a chance to really to see how much they care about each other and care about this business. Also, there's a bonus. The last 20-25 minutes of this, I reached back to Philip and we talked about his menu, the menu at both locations. There's a trailer location that's 15 minutes away from the restaurant that's going to be open at the end of May that we're looking at. We talk about the difference in the hours at the trailer and the hours that will be at the restaurant, the food that will be different, the food that will be the same as well as different. It's just really, really chock full of information. And it's great because they just found out that they got on the list for the top 25 best new barbecue joints in Texas for Texas Monthly Magazine. So it's exciting to hear they had just found out like a week before. So you get to hear what that impact was on their business and what it means to them. I can't thank them enough for taking the time for this. I know you're going to enjoy this. And I'm excited to have the Smoke Sheet on board as a sponsor for this podcast. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter, a weekly newsletter that's available at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. It was created by Ryan Cooper, who is at Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC Barbecue. They're both worth following on Instagram and Twitter and everything that they have. But they've combined their forces together and their knowledge together to create this newsletter with up-to-date news on openings, on closings, on what different pitmasters are doing and barbecue chefs and everything within the barbecue world. And they go to events. They travel to barbecue joints all the time. So everything is up-to-date. Everything is new. There's lots of scoops. There's also information on the latest barbecue events that are coming up. So that way you can plan ahead, because that's actually one of the biggest things for me is because I miss out on a lot of these events. So it's good to know ahead of time so you can book everything. There's also links to the latest barbecue podcast, barbecue YouTube stuff, everything within the barbecue world, as well as a barbecue recipe of the week. It's really well done. It's really informative, and they put a lot of extra original content in there. So it's worth it. It's super easy to sign up. You sign up at bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet. Barbecue news worth consuming. And as always, if you're digging these, please subscribe at the subscribe button or subscribe on your podcast network. That way you don't miss out on any of these. And there's a ton of back episodes. So I want to make sure you get a chance to get through those and peruse those. Also, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all my podcasts, all my YouTube stuff, all my visits to butcher shops and barbecue joints, and just lots of cool other content. And I just can't thank you guys enough for listening and reaching out, letting me know what you think of this and giving me advice as to who I should contact next, because there's a lot of cool people that I've talked to, but there's a lot of people I don't know about or people that I've heard about, but I don't know enough to contact them. So anytime you reach out, I really, really appreciate it. But thanks again and enjoy this. This is the first time I've done one with a baby on someone's lap. So this is cool. This is a nice.
Yeah. It's a first. Little man was on TV this morning too.
Was he?
Yeah, I got him up in the pit trailer, and was holding them for an interview for I think Channel 25 out here. I think that was it
for the top 25 thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? Then we'll jump back to because it's interesting too that you lived in Orange County too, right?
Yeah. I lived there for a couple years.
Okay. Cool.
The two of us did before this guy.
What's his name and how old is he?
His name is Wayne, and he is a little over 3 months. So he's like 3 months and a week old. Yeah.
So calm.
He stayed super calm during the TV. He just sat there and drooled on me pretty much the whole time. So
that's cool.
He was chill. I was nothing like this at all. I was a
Were you fussy?
I was a baby. Yeah, I was told by my mom. So she was actually pretty upset when he was so calm and nice. as he is now because she said it's just not fair.
It's not. She didn't get that payback that she wanted, right?
Right. Exactly. She was banking on that, and then he just didn't deliver. But
well, if you have a second one, maybe that'll be a little bit more. Like, let's hope they're both easy. Who cares?
Right. And we'll eventually maybe have more kids. Probably. I think we want more. But Matt, one of our like chef on staff, he's got three boys, all seven or under. And he said each one was progressively like worse than the last. So he said, just quit while you're ahead. Cause our first was just like him. And we decided to have two more, and each one has just gotten rowdier. Now they have like three, you know, and it's crazy cause they'll come up here, you know, and we've got, I'm sitting in the office right now. And then like just on the other side of this wall, is kind of like our kid room. So, you know, so his kids can come and play in here after school or whatever. And,
oh, that's cool.
We've got a few other staff members that have kids and whatnot, so we're going to hopefully set up some like toys and stuff like that for them in there, and maybe a Xbox or something like that.
That's really cool. So is this location that you're at right now, is that near your permanent location, or is that by the brewery, or how? I guess we should probably get into
backtrack a little bit.
Let's backtrack. So where did you grow up?
I grew up just north of Houston, actually not too far from Corkscrew, before Corkscrew was around, a town called the Woodlands.
Yeah.
It's not a city, it's a township. And it's right actually on, I moved all around that area cause my mom was a teacher. And, so we moved around so that we could go where the good schools were, but we were kind of right backed up to Magnolia too, where Reveille is at. And so we go see those guys every now and then whenever we go back. It's rare that we make it back down there just because we like it out here, small town feel, and just slower. And it stresses me out when I drive back to Houston and all the people and the traffic and whatnot. Like, we got away from that, man.
Yeah, Los Angeles must have stressed, and Orange County must have stressed you out. It stresses me out.
Yeah, it's nuts. We tell people that, you know, ask about when we live there. And we pretty much tell them, like, you got to be where you're going to be for the rest of the night by 3 p.m. or else like the rest of your day is just consumed by sitting in traffic.
What kind of light, like when you think about the quality of life, there's so much to offer. Like, California and Southern California has a lot to offer, but that you're losing so much of your life and your sanity, yeah. I think too.
Right. It's crazy, man. Like, I did some math at one point, like hours spent in traffic.
I've done that.
I don't want to even think about this, you know.
It was scary. Like, I was doing 2 hours each way at one point, so it's 4 times 20. Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, Yvette did that too, 2 hours each way. When she, her first PR job was down in it was in like San Marcos near San Diego. And we lived in San Dimas at the time.
Oh, and the San Dimas is like the hub of traffic and.
Right. Yeah. So we were right there. I mean, I don't even remember the freeways, but 210 was one of them. And then the other one was,
the 210 meets the 60 or something. Like, it's, or
I don't remember, man. It was,
The 10 meets a 210 meets something. Yeah. Something.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just a lot of cars, just a lot of people. Many of them. So
a lot of sad, you could just sell like lots of sad souls. I know it's like, it's so cliche to talk about like LA and traffic, but it's really a real thing. It's a sad thing.
Yeah. Especially coming from Texas, even Houston, you know, I thought traffic was bad there. Yeah. But
I lived for a year in Austin and it was like, people complain about the traffic and I'm like, you don't even understand.
Yeah. And that's a great thing about Waco is you can get anywhere in 15 minutes. You know, I mean, one side of town or the other, nothing is further than 15 minutes away. Like our new location right here is, I mean, it's out in the country to a lot of people, like across the streets of cornfield.
Wow.
And we're still 15 minutes from our trailer in town. You know, it's just, we hop on Highway 6 right here. It pretty much takes us straight in. So,
but that's 15 minutes at what, going 60, 70 miles an hour.
Right. It's like 70 most of the way. That's the other thing is like, we live on some acres like in Crawford, which is like about 12, 13 minutes from here. And our entrance to our property is in the middle of a 75 mile an hour speed limit zone. So I have to like start slowing down and signaling like half a mile ahead so that people don't like run me over, you know.
Is Crawford, Texas, is that where the Bushes live?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they don't live there now. They have the ranch.
The ranch is there. Yeah. Yeah.
The Prairie Chapel Ranch they have there. I have not been on the ranch. We've gone around looking for it a few times and haven't been able to find it.
Can you visit it? Is that something you could visit?
No, it's not.
Okay. Oh, so
You can't.
you're trying to get
Well,
up.
we've met some people that, I mean, over time, you meet people that have been there, or
Okay.
we even met some people who live on the ranch. I don't know what their job or duty is exactly, but they live there. I have some friends who have gone mountain biking out there, which
Oh.
makes me really jealous because
Yeah.
I really want to do that one of these days.
You grew up in the Houston area, northern Houston, north of Houston. Now, how did you end up? How did you guys meet? How did you and Yvette meet?
Yeah, so I after high school, I worked in the medical industry for a while. A friend of mine, his dad ran an orthopedic surgeon's office, like the business office, and I went and worked collections there, which was super fun. And I worked there for about like a year and a half, just arguing with health insurance companies all day. And yeah, just
That
you
sounds
want to talk
just
about soul sucking for sure. And
anything
so
with the
I've
word
been,
collection sounds just awful.
totally. So then I went from that to just like wanting to get out of a cubicle and do something like crazy and spontaneous. So I actually worked with a guy in the office who told me about working on this cruise ship out in Hawaii. He had paid off all of his student loans
Oh,
work
wow.
by working on this cruise ship in Hawaii for like 2 years, got rid
Huh.
of like 40 grand in student debt.
Wow.
And I was like, cool, I'll take a look at that. And then like a couple weeks later, they had a job fair coming through Houston for the ship, and I went and applied. And then a couple months later, I got shipped out to Piney Point, Maryland to do like basically a watered down version of Coast Guard training.
Okay.
And they do it's you have to do it like safety training and all that stuff, and then all the corporate training or whatever, and they give you a Merchant Mariner credential, which actually got me on the Pearl Harbor base. Fun story
Wow.
about
Oh,
that. Yeah,
that's
that was cool.
cool.
Yeah, I just flashed them that, and they asked me if I was active duty, and I bold faced lied to them, and they let me in. But it was super cool because I got right up close to the Arizona Memorial.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, so we went. I went out, worked on the ship for close to a year, and on my first contract, Yvette and her family came on board as passengers. It was like her
Oh.
21st birthday, so I was just working like the buffet, just like bussing tables, like lowest of the low. I was brand new, and so they just like they put me on like the worst possible job, and I was just like back there. I mean, like scraping bus tubs, and like one of my buddies was like, hey, there's these cute girls over there at this table. You should go flirt with them. And totally, like totally against the rules. Instant grounds for like being fired. And so of course I went and did it,
Of
and we
course.
ended up.
It sounds like there's a pattern with you.
Right. We ended up talking like all throughout the week, and like got contact info and stuff like that, and just kind of stayed in touch a little bit here and there. And on my contract, like vacation, I had like 5 weeks off. And so I spent a week hiking in Hawaii, did the Nepali coast,
Oh.
and almost died. And then went back to stateside to do like a cross-country road trip with some of my friends. And we were coming through, we went through San Diego, and we were going to go up to Yosemite to hike a route up there. And she convinced us to stop in LA. And so we were just gonna make it like a day, and then it ended up being like 3 days, and we hung out around there. We did the whole LA thing, experienced LA traffic for the first time, and then we kind of like kidnapped her and took her up to San Francisco with us, and spent a day there, and then went over to her parents' farm just south of Fresno and like
Oh,
dropped her
wow.
off there. And basically, I don't even know how you got home
My
after
parents
that.
brought me
Her
home.
parents like drove her back to LA the next like for class. She was still in college, and then we went up to Yosemite and hiked her out. And then by that point, we were kind of together, but I was still going back onto the ship. So I did like 2 more months on the ship, and then quit and decided to move in with her. And so flew out to California with pretty much no like job prospects at all. I just had like a bunch of cash from working on a ship because you don't pay room and board, you don't pay for your food, all the money you make just goes straight in your pocket. And
Oh, that's so nice.
yeah, so I basically like I filled it around with like I was trying to work with these people to start a nonprofit out there for like adolescent substance abuse.
Oh, that's
And
great.
I did some work with that like in Houston too before I went out to Hawaii, but it just never panned out. I don't on it they just kind of fell off the map one day. And then just so I just started riding my bike a lot because I was already doing that. I was riding mountain bikes And I just started to like take it more seriously, and I started racing real competitively. And
were you getting sponsorships and stuff, or was it not at that level yet?
So like I had opportunities to get like shop sponsorships, but I wasn't really interested for riding for a shop. I wanted to just, I just wanted to like rep Texas. That was kind of like my, I just had like this Texas flag jersey that I always wore to races. And okay. So like people started calling me Texas. And that just became, I became like a character in the mountain bike racing circuit. So
oh,
I decided
so
to just like stay with that, you know, and I ended up getting like a couple of more different like Texas jerseys or whatever. And just kind of did it that way. We moved. So then we moved down to Orange County, and that was when I started cooking barbecue. Cause we got a place, went from like a condo to a little house with like a tiny, tiny backyard.
We're in Orange County.
Rancho Santa Margarita.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was, we picked that place because I could leave the driveway and be on a mountain bike trail in 60 seconds and ride about 100 miles of dirt without touching pavement at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like, it was pretty freaking awesome for me at that time. And it also cut her commute in half because she was working down in San Marcos. You know, we got this house and we were going to Home Depot to probably get spackle. You know, they were all just, we were just doing little patch jobs, you know, and so we were spackling up a bunch of holes in the walls or whatever. And there was a little like cheap, you know, thin sheet metal smoker out there uh-huh. for like $99. And
like there always is, right?
Right, of course. So it was like naturally, you know, being from Texas, like you got to have a smoker in the backyard. I had no idea how to use it or anything, but let's get one. You know, it was $100. So. And in fact, I think I convinced her mom to buy it for me. So just started toying around on that. You know, I'd always cooked like as a kid growing up, me and my dad would go fishing and we'd do like fish fries and stuff. And he would mess around in the kitchen and I'd just kind of like watch and help him with some stuff or whatever. And I started cooking more like in high school and whatnot. Just didn't really get into like barbecue until I got this cheap smoker and like started cooking with fire for the first time, and it just really changed everything, you know.
Were you progressing at all? Like, were you looking at things online or buying books, or were you just kind of messing around on your own?
Yeah, for the first few times I just messed around on my own, and the outcome was like inedible completely. You know, like I think the first time I did a brisket, I like thought I had nailed it. And there were like a couple of slices off there that were like pretty good, you know. But the rest of it was like, it was so salty, like you couldn't eat it, you know, and I put like every spice I could find on it, you know what I mean? And so I did like a couple of those, and then I figured like, okay, maybe I should like have some sort of guidance on this thing, you know? And so I just started like Googling, you know, how to cook a brisket or whatever. And I think the first thing I actually read about cooking brisket was a Texas Monthly article that Daniel Vaughn had wrote like several years ago. And it included, I think it was mostly about like Aaron Franklin and his methods as he was starting to blow up. I think he had like just gotten his James Beard Award. And so I was like, who is this guy? You know, I'd never heard of him. And I just started looking him up. I found his whole YouTube series.
Yeah, which is amazingly, like people across the United States use that. Like it's so.
People across the world use it. I mean, yeah, it's like, anyone I hire. You know, we do a lot of things differently, obviously, than they do. Like, I still tell them to go watch his videos and, like, you know, read the book if they can.
I think, it's good to wrap your head around that first. And then, of course, you could diverge and,
Yeah, it just saves me a lot of breath, I guess. You know what I mean? So, like, just go watch this guy and read his book and then come back and we'll talk about the rest, you know? So, yeah, I did that and then wanted to get a bigger smoker, you know, of course. We just kind of like steadily upgraded, you know, little by little. And I was doing, I was still racing and I was teaching part time. Cause at that point I wanted to like teach high school economics and coach mountain biking. Cause like all these schools down there in SoCal have mountain bike teams. Like high school mountain bike.
I did not know that.
And they're just stupid. I mean, their kids, like 18, 17 years old, not even finished with high school yet, that are getting like full blown sponsorships from like Trek and Giant and Cannondale and stuff. Cause they're just like, they're like 110 pounds soaking wet and they can just fly up hills like it's nothing.
And no fear. And yeah.
Right. At all. Yeah, exactly. Nothing to lose.
I bet that's like in Northern California too. I bet a lot of people have, I bet there's high schools up there too.
Yeah, totally, totally. There's a lot more like cross-country racing in like Central Coast and Southern California,
That makes
and then
sense.
you get a lot more like enduro and downhill stuff, which is just like Greek, but like it's more, yeah, it's just more like downhill stuff because you have like Santa Cruz and those areas up
Yeah.
there. They're like these mountain bike meccas where they're like, hitting all sorts of jumps and stuff like that. I was more into like the ride fast. Of course, there's plenty of terrain and whatnot, but it's just all about speed and stamina and
Gotcha.
whatnot. So I was teaching part time, still racing, trying to build my resume for, coaching and whatnot. I got a personal trainer license that I never used. Got a wilderness first responder cert that I never used. I spent a week in Yosemite getting that, never used it.
You have a lot of merit badges, it seems like you have.
Right, I know. Like, and they're like most of them are useless. I think like my MMC, like the best thing it got me was like a wad of cash, and I got into Pearl
Yeah,
Harbor.
exactly. Well,
But
that's huge. That's good.
yeah, the rest of it, I didn't ever do anything with it other than just like take Yvette out on rides with me and, make sure she didn't die. So, but all the while I was like doing like monthly brisket cooks or whatever, and it was to the point where I would just like, I wouldn't be able to sleep the night before because I was getting so stoked about, what am I going to do different this time, and
Oh,
like
that's so
thinking
nice.
about little things I'm going to change and how the process is going to go, and like thinking about little modifications I could make to my crappy backyard smoker. And I really, really wanted to do it more than just like once a month. And but it was so expensive because I was just buying briskets from the nearest like meat market, and I was buying choice brisket for I think like $9 a pound. And until I found like a butcher, a really good butcher up in Chino, that I started getting like really good prime Black Angus stuff for like, it was like still maybe like $4 or $5 a pound, but
Yeah,
it
but
definitely more reasonable.
yeah.
But Yvette was kind of like, look, we can't eat all this brisket. Like it's just two of us, And so I started giving some to like my coach that I rode with, and just like some of our neighbors. People talk about like the American Idol effect or whatever. Like, if you give people free food, they're always going to say it's great. And like that totally happened, like for sure. But at that time, like that kept me going, So it was, for what it's worth, like it
Yeah, if
worked
it
it.
wasn't for that, you wouldn't have.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, I mean, then again, like I'm not one to shy away from a challenge, and like I think the one thing I love about cooking barbecue so much is that it is such a challenge, and that it keeps you on your toes, it keeps you humble,
True.
and like there's always more to learn.
Did you buy like a 125 or like a 250?
So it's funny, we actually bought a 500 before we bought a 250, and so we decided after a while I was going to get out of racing because it was like I started getting heart problems, and just it was just consuming my whole life, and it wasn't really fun for me anymore. And I just really, really wanted to just cook more barbecue, We decided once after we got married, she wanted to leave her job in San Marcos and do more like event planning and coordinating, like she had done in high school and throughout college, just for like friends and like people that she had met and whatnot. And I wanted to try my hand in doing barbecue, like catering. And so we thought we'd like team up and do that, see if we could do events together and whatnot. And it actually, like the first thing that that made us really kind of take it seriously is her hairdresser asked us to come serve barbecue at her roller derby tournament. And we were like, oh, sure, okay. I mean, like that's cool.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, it was. And we cooked way too much food, and like barely sold. I mean, we
Well,
sold.
they overestimated.
Yeah, they told us there was going to be like way more people there than there
Yeah.
were. So like,
50 people.
but I remember, man, that was so stressful that first day, just preparing everything because we wanted to do like a whole menu and everything. There's just two of us and like little tent set up, and like we were trying to do it up to code but with no permits. So like, if you're not gonna have a permit, what's even the point of
Yeah.
like trying to be up to code? But like, I don't know what we were thinking, but. We went out there and, we learned some stuff and whatever. And I think we ended up shortly after there getting a catering job. And then it was just kind of another one and another one. And it
Did
was
you
like,
do like weddings and things like?
we only did one out there, and it was actually for our butcher, up in Chino. And, that was one of the few occasions we actually did use the 500 out there. Because So like at, shortly after we started doing like little events and caterings, we thought like, let's get a real pit. You know what I mean? And so I just started searching around on Craigslist for pits. And that was where I met Drew, from Harper. I mean, he had this smoker on there that looked awesome, you know, and I hit him up for it. And,
Was he was in Orange County, right, at the time?
Yeah, he was in Costa Mesa, yeah. Where he is now.
Where so he is right now, okay, yeah.
He had built maybe like 3 pits at that point. You know, he was still like, we were both brand new. And the one I hit him up about, he had already sold, but he was telling me it was just kind of like an advertisement for like the kind of pits that he does build. And so he built me one just like that one that I wanted, put it on a trailer, and we brought it home, and it didn't last like 24 hours in our driveway before we got like HOA calls and the fire department called on us, like all this stuff. And so fire department's super cool, but like HOA came by and like threatened to fine us or whatever. And, took pictures of our like house with the smoker sitting outside. I'm like out in the garage, and I like running out there to confront them about it. You know what I mean? Cause I'm from Texas, you know, like, what are you doing taking pictures of my property? You know, or just like, so, like protective of our like property, like what are you doing, you know? So I'm not used to homeowners associations.
No, they're pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, and so we knew we weren't going to be able to really do anything with this massive pit out there, and so I hit Drew back up. We found somewhere that worked out a deal with us to store our big pit over there in exchange for like doing some events for them, and then I bought a 250 from him. That he had on a trailer, and he took it off and put it on casters for me. And we actually rented a crane to have it like craned over my back fence and dropped in our backyard. Cause like we couldn't just like wheel it in there, you know? And we ended up using a crane again to get it back out when we moved back to Texas.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. It was pretty gnarly. It's really cool. It's like huge, you know, it wasn't huge. It was a 250, like just pit floating in the air. You know what I mean?
You don't get to see that often.
Like, it was pretty cool. Yeah. And so we started doing like the underground backyard pop-ups. Sorry, I have sausage on the pit. I'm going to hand it over to a vet for a second, and then I will be right back. Okay. Cause I'm the only one here right now. So I need
to... Okay. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. What was it like from your side when you guys found out about the top 25?
I was so excited. I was nervous. So nervous because I, you know, with everything happening right now, I was trying to open the restaurant. I was like, oh my gosh, we're way too much going on right now. I don't know what's going to happen right now.
Oh, you mean nervous? Like what's that going to bring?
Yeah. Is it going to bring an increase or is it just going to... stay as it is, and maybe when summer comes it'll pick up more because kids are out of school, parents can travel more. Yeah, the timing of it was crazy, especially at the restaurant right now.
Have you guys been open days since that list came out?
Yeah.
Not our restaurant.
Yeah, so we're open 7 days a week over there. It's pretty bananas. And so Monday when the list came out, I don't think we saw a huge push that day just yet. Because
we had an unusually high day.
We did have a higher day than normal for a Monday. We do a rib special on Monday. We do like whole racks of ribs for $25. And so we generally do decent on Mondays, but we did better than we normally would. And then what really I think has done it is, I mean, it's all because of the list, but the Waco Tribune Herald had us on the front page Tuesday morning. And then we were on like 3 different news stations this week. And so it's all that stuff because when people are coming through, they're like, oh, I saw you in the paper. I saw you on the news and whatnot. And a lot of people don't really know the significance of like, well, they know that Texas Monthly is a big authority on barbecue. And all they see is like 25 best new barbecue joints in Texas. You know what I mean? That's all they need to see. And it'll get them out there. And then you have your handful of like people around here that know what it really is and like know it well. And so, and most of those people have been with us for a while, have been like regulars of ours for a
true.
While.
They're, yeah, they probably
they've been able to seek out the good barbecue and everything. So they've known, and it's cool because we're getting to share that with them. Some of our regulars that have been there since like day one.
And they're and proud they're, of you. Like, yeah. They're,
yeah. They're like proud of us and personally congratulating us and everything. And we're just like, thank you so much for waiting because like, I know you're not used to this. And they're like being really patient with us and everything. So it's
and
cool.
Those kind of people too, they might be used to waiting a little bit longer at certain places. So it's not, to them, it's not so bad.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, it's like a great thing. They're really glad that like the Waco barbecue joints are being recognized now, but they're also like, you know, there's a price that comes with that, you know, is now it's like, I won't say we're like the other places that have like notoriously long lines or anything like that, but it's like, they can't just walk right up to the window anymore, you know? So
how did you guys end up in Texas though? How did you go from Orange County to Texas?
It was just so difficult for us to do what we were doing out there, you know? Like, we wanted to do it legit. We just really, we just really felt.
I think this is like easily the coolest interview I've ever done. And Wayne has been amazing. Like, I can't wait to send this to you, because there's like some, like, he's smiled and looked at, I don't know what he's looking at, if he sees me or if he sees himself.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He's just like, he loves like lights, you know, and like if a TV's on, we'll sit there and watch baseball together. You know, I'll just like sit him next to me and we'll just both just sit there and watch baseball, you know?
So he likes that. Like, he likes the visual, whatever it is that's going on.
Yeah,
but he's not like totally reacting. You know?
It just makes him happy.
He likes to sit on our lap. That's really a big thing. He doesn't like to be laying down in a crib.
Yeah.
By himself.
So that helps.
Which is like exhausting all day, but then the kid sleeps for like 10 hours a night. So
okay.
I can't really complain. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad at all. No.
Right. So like we were trying to do it legit, you know what I mean? And I think we kind of had an idea from the beginning that we wanted to eventually move this business over to Texas. Yeah. And I think we had a conversation one day that was just like, what's the point of us trying to build up a brand here and then move it to a completely different market where nobody's going to know us? Like, we're not going to make any kind of national recognition out here doing what we're doing that's going to, like, you know, precede us when we go out there. Nobody's going to know who we are. So why don't we just look at trying to move now?
And but also, too, like, wouldn't some people think moving to Texas and opening a barbecue joint in Texas would be like, wow, that's kind of crazy too, because there's a lot of barbecue spots in Texas.
We joke with Drew from Harper, because you know they're opening a restaurant down there in Costa Mesa, and last time he was here, when they brought us our newer pit, they were hanging out with us on the ranch one night, and he was talking about like, dude, it's so crazy that in the time, because shortly after I met him, they started like the plans and stuff like that for this place. He's like, in the time that I've met you, you've moved to Texas, had a kid, started a barbecue trailer, and are now going into a restaurant, and I still haven't even broke ground on my thing yet. And so it's like, I mean, on one hand, yeah, we're in Texas doing barbecue. Like, we're not.
It makes sense. You're in the land where you could do that. Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. And we're not in Austin. We're not in Houston. We're not in, and now Fort Worth. Shoot. Like, Fort Worth is like going crazy now. And so.
True.
We're in a market that has needed like good barbecue for a while, and it's, you know, it's taken us pretty much a whole year to really get on people's radar out here. But now that they are, I mean, it's just, this last week has been just like out of control, you know, like we're used to our pars. And so in the midst of like coming here to the restaurant all day and like working on this place, getting it ready, and then getting calls that like, hey, we're out of food. And we're supposed to stay open until 10 because we're parked outside of a pub.
Oh,
and we're supposed to be open as long as they're open. That's like the deal we have worked out with them. And I'm like, so I just got to like run over and trim a bunch more briskets and season them and like, you know, make a bunch more sausage and whatever else. It's just like, you know, but hey, I'm grateful, dude. Like, if people want to show up and buy the food, I'll keep making it.
How was that first week or so when you were in Texas? Like, how did that, and how did you find your specific location?
Everything has kind of like branched off from our realtor. We met this really cool British dude who like had a San Francisco phone number and like this British accent, but he's a realtor in Waco and like always wears Wranglers and a cowboy hat. And he's just like, he's such a cool character.
He's one of our best friends.
He's like one of our best friends, yeah. And he introduced us to, so he found us the place that we live in now, and he introduced us to a friend of his who is doing commercial real estate, who basically toured us all the way around Waco and showed us like what was happening there and like potential spots for us to go. He introduced us to a guy who was leading like the young entrepreneurs division of the Chamber of Commerce at the time. And he ended up reaching out to us about advertising on his website because he was doing like an online magazine for Waco. And we met at a coffee shop where our trailer is at now, because there was a coffee shop and the owner who happened to be behind the bar that day made that introduction. And then he brought up the fact that they're opening a pub. and they're going to need food for the pub. And so we needed a place to park. And so we pretty much just shook hands on it that day. And the rest is history. Like, no contract or anything. You know, we just kind of showed up. And the pub was supposed to have opened like almost a year ago. They said it was going to be May of last year. And it just opened 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And so we hung on over there in our little old trailer for like 10 months without any solid. The coffee shop was always busy, but like people like us know that like coffee and barbecue actually go really well together. But like most people don't. And they don't ever think of like if they're going to get a cup of coffee and like study, they're not trying to get a big plate of smoked meat, you know.
Gotcha.
We did have like, I mean, most of what we had was to-go orders over there. We had people that when they'd find out about us, they'd come and get like a to-go order and go back to work or something like that. And that was kind of what floated us for those 10 months, you know.
Was it busy at the beginning or was it not busy?
The very first day we opened, it was busy because it was like a big party that they were throwing, which they're doing again this Saturday, which will be our 1 year. And it wasn't for us by any means. This is something that they were putting on. And the first day, it was a big block party that they threw. So there were a ton of people there. We did well there. But then after that, it was just, you know, it was rough. It was really rough. I mean, especially come summertime, you know, all the Baylor kids left and like half the city shuts down in the summertime, like in town, you know, because so much of that economy over there still like relies on that, you know, what, 40,000-50,000 students that are there and they all leave in the summer.
But what about the tourists that come in for Joanna and Chip? Is that still something?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Reed sees a lot of traffic from those people because he's like
right across, right?
On their property, you know. I mean, yeah, he does have a trailer in there, in the silos too, like a sandwich truck. But
I forgot about that.
We're no more than like a mile down the road, like a mile and a half, something like that. We're really close. I mean, it's like 13 blocks or something, but we don't see any of that. And part of it is because, you know, it's like Disneyland. I compare it to Disneyland when people come to Magnolia because they come into Waco and they don't leave like a 3-block radius and then they go home. They don't see anything else. They don't do anything, you know?
That's interesting. And
the coffee shop and pub that we're set up outside of has not had a sign since they've opened, and they've almost been open for 2 years now. Never had a sign.
Really?
And they're just hanging up a sign today, and they're going to light it on Saturday during that like block party ceremony.
Oh my gosh, that's so weird.
They've been like notorious though for not having a sign and just being a strictly local following. Like, it's if you know, you know, and it is always packed in there. And it's really cool to see what they've done with that, you know. I'd be interested to see how things pick up after they get a sign out there, you know, because like what is really amazing is our little trailer is like, so we're at an intersection, right? And so our little trailer was out on the side street, that not the busy one, for the first 10 months. And when we finally got to move up into the parking lot where we're visible from Austin Avenue, which is kind of like the main street through Waco, our sales tripled overnight.
Oh my God.
As soon as we moved like 50 yards away on the same property, and our sales just tripled overnight.
Because your exposure is so much more.
Yes, like I have no idea. I mean, we didn't do anything. We just moved a little bit. And then we got a newer, like bigger trailer. And that drew a lot of people because it was like, I mean, it's this massive food trailer now that you can see from the road.
And it looked trustworthy.
Yeah, it didn't look as sketchy. I think a lot of people were kind of sketched out by our first trailer.
That's pretty funny. That's a good point.
It was a little dilapidated, to say the least. And then once we wrapped the trailer, then we started getting more people, too.
Who designed that? Is that you, Yvette?
We worked with a designer, like friend of ours here in Waco. It's like Waco and San Antonio called Due South. And we pretty much just talked to him a few times over the phone and told him like kind of what we wanted our brand to look like and everything. And we just worked with them back and forth on making the branding.
It looks great. It looks great.
I've done some minor stuff for us, but nothing to that extent.
And we still like draw back on some of those old things too. We're kind of like to recycle like logos and stuff like that, you know. We enjoy it.
So let's talk about the new.
So we're getting ready to open up here, hopefully next week, out on Highway 6. It's right on a main highway. I mean, Highway 6, you follow it through Texas, man. You can go on your map and bike all the way up in the panhandle, I think, or at least up to Fort Worth.
For sure.
And it goes all the way down to freaking Galveston, I think. So, like, we have a lot of truck traffic that comes through here, but it's really like, why we chose this spot is, first of all, it's half the distance from our ranch in Crawford than in town. And also, it's, like, right at this intersection that's in between four small towns that are all, like, basically suburbs of Waco, and there's no food out here at all.
Perfect. That's perfect.
There's, like, Valley Mills, China Spring, Woodway, and Crawford. All you got is, like, Subway or, like, a little fast food chicken place or something like that.
That's perfect, perfect.
Yeah, and so there's no barbecue out here. There's really hardly any food at all. And so once we parked our smoker out front here, like our old pit, and then put a coming soon sign on it, we just started getting people calling us and emailing us and contacts on Facebook, like every means like imaginable about like, when are you opening, you know?
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then this week has just been, you know, times 10, you know, because now we have like publicity, and so my phone just won't stop ringing, and it's either, are you open today? Where are you located? And is your place on Highway 6 open yet? So
you're going to have two spots then?
Two, yeah. We'll do all the cooking here. We're going to have both of our 500-gallon pits over here. And then we're getting like two more 1,000 gallons within this year. We'll be cooking for this location and the trailer in town all here. I want to have like quality control over everything. I want to see everything that's cooked here. I have a hand in everything that's cooked, that's served at both locations.
Perfect.
And then we'll just drive stuff into town every morning. Cause it's seriously, you hop on Highway 6 and it's 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not bad.
Throw it in a Camaro, bring it over there. And then we just have cutters over there.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. Like I'll just need a few people who know how to cut to be over there. And then where all the production we'll do here, and it's really not far.
That's really smart. What are the hours going to be at this place and then at the hours of the trailer?
Over here, we're going to be Wednesday through Saturday, lunch and dinner, 11 to 9.
Wow.
We're thinking about doing 11 to 8 in-store, and then from like 8 to 9, it's just going to be like pre-order pickups only or to-go orders only. Like we want to shut down the building.
That makes sense.
And then over there, over on Austin Avenue, it's called Hellberg on Austin. We wanted a distinction. Instead of having like two Hellberg barbecue locations, we figured it'd be cool to like call that one something different.
Yeah.
Because the concept is a little bit different, actually. We do a limited barbecue menu at lunchtime, and then after 3 o'clock, we switch over to doing like barbecue pub food. So it's like stuffed potatoes and Frito pies and nachos and
chocolate sandwiches. That's cool.
Stuff like that. You know, if there's anything left over from lunch, we can like turn it into something
incorporate
else.
Incorporate it, yeah.
Or if we have something left over from over here, we can like put it over there and, you know, do like we put a lot of focus into like, if we have anything from here that we can take out there and use, like let's find a way to make it better than what it was. So like with our chopped beef sandwich, for instance, like we wanted to have not like the most insane chopped beef sandwich. So we actually like we'll chop any beef that we have and like chill it, and then when people order one, we grab a handful and fire it in a saute pan with Alabama white sauce and cheese, and it all like melts together, and then we put it on Texas toast with like our house-made pickles and like French's crispy onions, so like a crunch in there, and it's like the best chopped beef sandwich. We actually shut down for a week last year to do maintenance, and that was when we came up with that sandwich.
Yeah. And so will that only be at that location or at both locations?
Oh, we're definitely not doing that here. No way. I don't want to fire chopped beef sandwiches like that. Because the setup here is going to be like as classic traditional meat market style as you can get. You know, we'll have like an L-shaped counter where you walk in and order directly from me at the cutting block.
Perfect.
I'll cut your meat, weigh it, write down the amounts, and pass it over to whoever's scooping sides next to me, and we'll just move people down the line. Out there, it's a little bit different setup. Actually, as of today, we started doing it more meat market style out there, since like this place isn't open yet. So that's our only location for now. And so we still do a full barbecue menu out there at lunch because it's our only location that's open right now. And so we had a line of like 20 some odd people, you know, 10 minutes before we opened. And so I just called an audible and said, everybody come over to this window, order from me, because yesterday it got so out of hand with the orders piling up that I almost ran out of like turkey before I could fulfill the amount of turkey orders that there were, and that would have been a huge disaster. And so we switched it up today over there, and we'll probably keep doing that, because the crazy thing is, man, like, there are a lot of folks that live out here that are going to be probably solid, you know, dinner time folks that live in town and they come back and they want to get dinner or whatever. And then the lunch crowd that we're getting over there, I think they're different markets completely. And so we may be able to hit both of them equally hard and like be busy out here and be busy out there, and neither location steal from each other.
Yeah.
You know? So on one hand,
yeah, you don't want them to cannibalize each other, but in the same respect, service the area. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. My only concern is having enough pit to handle both, because, you know, we like I said, tripled our sales from when we were in the small trailer when we moved up in the parking lot, and then that has since been tripled this week since the list and everything. And so, and that's out of a trailer, man. Like, that's not even
what the
restaurant opened yet. So,
because our menu here is going to be different.
Yeah, we're going to do
pure barbecue.
Yeah, just no holds barred barbecue, meat sides, desserts.
And what, one or two sausages?
We'll have three that are staples. So we'll do a classic like kielbasa, you know, a pork sausage, a little garlicky. We'll do our Texas hot guts, you know, classic beef link with a lot of good amount of spice. And then we have a sausage that started as a jalapeno cheddar sausage and then morphed into a jalapeno gouda sausage and then morphed into a poblano gouda sausage. And then we started throwing another cheese in there, and now we don't even have a name for it. So we kind of name it something different every day, and just we're waiting for something to catch on.
But it could also, like, you could do something clever with it. Kind of like, have you seen the show Bob's Burgers? How, like, he has like a pun, like he uses like every a burger's always like a pun name. It's always something
weird. We've even put out like, hey, somebody name this sausage, because I can't come up with one. So
that's cool. That's also a fun thing too. Like, you could do it for marketing.
Great, your customer base to help out.
Yeah.
So we'll have those three on the menu at all times, and then we'll rotate in like a special, more creative sausage every now and then. When I can get in there and you know,
test kitchen
stuff. Yeah. I like to, you know, I've done a lot of like more creative sausages that I've put in my back pocket. That I've just been waiting for like the right time to roll out, because over there out of the trailer, I didn't think people would buy them, you know? So like, we're doing them for like events, you know? And then, I think once we gain people's trust out here, then we can start throwing like crazy stuff on the menu that people just, oh, I'll try that
because
I trust you or whatever.
But I think also too, I think that this is perfect timing for you because of the list. And then opening up a brick and mortar location. It's like ideal.
Yeah, I thank God. Like, it just, the whole, like, we had this dream, right? Like, the dream that is kind of starting, is really starting to manifest for us this week is what is like the dream that we had starting out, you know, in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And we had high expectations of like coming in and just like, wrecking shop and cleaning up and everything like that. And we were extremely humbled, like, right away, you know, that, like, nothing in this business especially does not come unearned. And, like, we thought we put a lot of work into getting where we are just to get our first trailer open, and we had no idea. Like, we had still yet to put in a full Texas summer of cooking outside every day. You know, for people not knowing if they're going to show up or not. So like, now that we at least have one of those under our belt, and we have we had a Daniel Vaughn visit, and Jimmy Ho came by too, and some other people, and we've grown and gained somewhat of a local, you know, following and whatnot.
And we hear about you from here on the West Coast, so that's something too.
That's awesome. I mean, that's really cool. It's good. We have, you know, we've got some friends out there, so.
Yeah, and I guess, like, we're kind of nerdy about this stuff, so we kind of pay attention to what's, like what's trickling. And I always, for me, I love, like, the upstarts and the, like, people, like, just starting out to kind of see them grow, because I think it's so interesting to see the progression.
Yeah, it's insane, man. I'd always hoped that something like this would eventually happen, but there were several months there last year where we weren't sure if we made the right call. You know, that we thought maybe this wasn't the right, maybe this was a bad idea. You know, maybe we need to look into doing something else. Maybe we need to sell our stuff and just like go work for the man again or whatever. But like we just kept praying, and that's like why our mantra, I guess.
It's kind of changed. Yeah, so it was Faith Family Barbecue, which we still have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of morphed into salt, pepper, and a whole lot of prayer.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's just that we're putting it on shirts now and stuff like that. It's kind of like our own little motto, I guess. Because that's what's got us here. You know what I mean? Like, if we hadn't stopped praying, we wouldn't be here if we hadn't stopped praying, like, every day, those long summer days of just it being the two of us, and especially with her being pregnant, too.
I know. I was going to say that.
Yeah, and working in the trailer in the summertime and helping me make sausage, helping me, make sides and stuff like that, make pickles, make sauce, trim briskets, you know, like, from day one, we'd never, and like, now that we're, like, this week is happening, and, like, I'm not going to count on it being like this forever, you know? I think, like, the publicity is really cool and everything, but I'm not expecting for this to be sustained more than maybe a couple of weeks or something. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm going to prepare for it to be, but I'm not expecting for it to be.
Yeah.
Now that we are here and that, like, we've gotten this accomplishment, you know, which is still, there's so much work to do. Like, it's not the top 50, it's not the top 10, you know, it's a step.
It's a step in
the right direction. It's a milestone where we can say, cool, good work, guys. Now let's work harder. Let's get better.
And let's stay consistent.
Let's stay consistent and make, and actually not only be like consistent, but make it even better. Like continue improving, continue learning. And we like to say like, do it gooder. Yeah. That's like, that's actually our
motto. You have to do it gooder.
Better. We all say to each other just like that, but gooder.
Oh, that's so great.
But now, what I was going to say is now I am extremely proud of us for not compromising in those, like, really hard times. Like, there wasn't, you know, throughout all the really rough summer days of, like, not knowing if people would show up or, you know, maybe barely selling a brisket or two for the whole day. Like, we never stopped making our own sausage. We never stopped buying like the best quality ingredients available to us. We never skimped on our product. We never stopped making our own pickles and all that stuff from scratch and doing everything by hand, you know, like
that would have ruined it. Yeah.
Yeah. It never crossed our mind. It was just like, we just got to keep doing this and stay faithful. And maybe one day it'll
come back.
It'll come around. And like now it is. It's super cool.
And I think, too, honestly, people watching this will love the fact that it's you and Yvette and Wayne. I think that this is just a beautiful thing to see that your family and to see, like, you know, that you're, like, who you are. I think that's why I like to do these, too, is because now people get a chance to see you guys and see who you are and fall in love with you guys and want to visit you guys and be happy and excited about your story. I think that's killer.
We help people come. Like, part of the reason we are doing dinner is because of family. We want people to be able to bring their families in for dinner. We have communal tables that everyone can sit at together, like
that's
a backyard
great.
Barbecue, and Phil, hopefully, you know, work in the meat cutting, and I'll be here. I have a crib behind Phil right now in the office.
Yeah, I mean, we got the nursery set up, so we're like, we're ready to live here, man.
We ordered
a futon.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time here, but like, I want to be able to be out in the line with him and talk to people and go clean tables and just interact.
That's important, and then that people get to know you guys. Yeah, it becomes a family thing.
We want them to feel like family here. Yeah. We want them to just have it be a place that I can take anybody. Doesn't matter who.
That feeling that I was telling you about with like our regulars that have stuck with us from early on that are now like proud of us and happy for us and everything, that's like, we feel like they're a part of our family, you know what I mean? And so like, we want our community out here to connect with us on that level. And we want to have our regulars out here that we know by name. We want to have people that come through, you know, I'm not like, Texas Monthly does amazing things for people. And it obviously has for us just this week. And like barbecue tourism is a huge thing, but like we all, none of us really know how long that stuff is going to last. And really to us, it's about capturing our community out here and being like the go-to local spot.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
That your town rallies around and says like, we have the best barbecue here, you know, like that's, you know, and that's something special. That's what we want. Even though we've grown, I mean, I think now we have like 10 staff and we started just the two of us. And we have 10 staff members now. And we're like, I think we're hiring more like tomorrow. I mean, we can't seem to have enough people here between this place and that place out there to help us make this happen. And yet still, I want to be the one behind the block.
Yeah.
You know, when people come in here, but our name is on the is outside on the sign.
That's important.
I want them to interact with me at the cutting table. I want them to see her and him here, and hopefully watch him grow up here.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I can't, like, honestly, I cannot wait to visit you guys.
This area out here, especially Crawford where we live, is such a tight-knit community.
Oh, yeah.
They're so supportive of programs and businesses within the area. And that's, we want to be a part of that. And we want to help grow that out here.
That's great.
Not
that's
like metropolitan, but...
But there is a lot of growth coming
away.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Everyone knows there's a lot of growth coming to this town, what Magnolia's done and everything. You got... Everyone from California is moving out here.
Yeah. I know. You know, my mom wants to live out there.
Seriously. Along the I-35 corridor, I'm pretty sure the population is supposed to, like, double in the next 10 years. And when you think about it, man, like, DFW and Austin, they're already starting to get pretty crowded.
Yeah.
And so people are going to start, those cities and our city are all going to start growing out more and more to where we just going to, kind of become suburbs of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, I hope it's going to be nothing like LA, but when you think about LA and all the cities that just like morph into each other, it's kind of like I said, I hope it doesn't happen on that scale.
I don't think it will quite that way, but.
No,
you got too many folks like us and like the guy who runs cattle on our property and across the street who are like never going to sell their land. So it won't happen like out in Crawford, Texas, but.
That's
there is a lot of, when it comes to Waco and the people moving in, there are a lot of folks moving out this direction on Highway 6 because there are a lot of really good communities out here, a lot of good schools, and it's still only a 15-minute drive into town, you know?
Crazy.
So you can live outside of town and have, like, you know, a yard and whatnot, but still only be, like, a 20-minute max drive to work. So,
that's so crazy.
It kind of makes sense why a lot of people are moving out this direction.
Oh, for sure. Thank you guys so much, and thank you guys for what you're doing, and I'm super excited. I cannot wait to visit. Good luck next week.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. Hopefully Wednesday. That's the day.
That's the goal.
We pretty much told everyone in the crew and the contractors that we're working with and everyone, like, come hell or high water, we got to be open Wednesday. So whatever has to happen to make that happen.
Isn't that right?
I was here smoking sausage till 1:30 in the morning, and like one of our contractors was like still here, you know. So we're gonna make it happen.
You are. I'm proud of you guys. That's exciting. Yeah, thank you for taking the time. This is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you, man. Have a good night.
Awesome. You too. I'll see you soon. Well, good morning again. We didn't really get a chance to talk. We talked about so many different things, but we didn't really get a chance to talk menu and the menus at the two locations. So let's go over those two so that people can distinguish the two.
Cool. So the restaurant, I guess I'll start with the trailer because that's open right now. Right now, to put it into perspective, we have two locations, two entities. One is Hellberg Barbecue. One is Hellberg on Austin because it's on Austin Avenue. And the point of that trailer is to serve the pub that it sits outside of. They can't keep their license there unless food is being served, which is why we're open 7 days a week there. Okay. We don't do barbecue 7 days a week. On Sundays, we do brunch. So we do like brisket quiches and pork steak quiches. And then we do like roast beef and cheddar sandwiches for dinner time. And then Tuesdays, we do Taco Tuesday. So we have, you know, brisket barbacoa. Well, we do beef cheek barbacoa too. It just kind of depends on like what we have more of, you know, going on. And then we'll do smoked carnitas and pollo asado and a couple other different things. And then Mondays we do a barbecue menu and we do a $25 whole rack of spare rib special to try and draw more crowds on Mondays.
And that's on the Mondays. Okay. You mentioned that before. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Only Monday. And then Wednesday through Saturday, it's pretty much like any other barbecue trailer. Except we are open until, you know, later in the evening, 10 PM. Usually we run out, you know, between 8 and 9, right? Usually around 9 run out. So
Wednesday through Saturday, that's a great late night barbecue option.
Yes. Yeah. And
or
we
later
do,
in the day.
We do at 3 PM after lunch, we do switch over to our pub menu for the evening time. So we try to focus on, you know, the stuffed potatoes and like nachos and Frito pies and chopped beef sandwiches, but we do still have a brisket plate on the menu. So we have an option on the menu that like, if somebody walks up to the trailer, we just want to make it really easy for them. And then like, I just want brisket. Cool. We have something on the menu for that, gotcha. You know, and it's just, you get a half pound of brisket, pickles, onions, bread, and a little small side. And there you go, you know, and so
that's cool. That's great. It's a no brainer too. And not yet.
Yeah. Cause you know, a lot of times people walk up to the trailer and be like, well, you know, what if I just want brisket? You know, it's like, here you go. Because that's what we get the most of, is people asking like that question.
Perfect. Yeah. And then, so what sides do you offer there? Are there specific sides that you offer that?
Right now we do four. It's ranch beans, mustard, dill, potato salad, smoked Gouda macaroni and cheese, and street corn salad. And those are available right now, you know, Mondays and Wednesday through Saturdays. And then on Tuesdays, we just do the street corn salad and borracho beans.
Because they kind of pair with the tacos.
Right, exactly.
Can you describe the some of those sides, how you put those together? Because I know that the mac and cheese, there's something specific to that.
Yeah, the mac was something I've been making since I was like in high school, actually. Oh. And I've just tweaked the recipe over time and whatnot. But we started out making it kind of like supposed to be mimicking sort of like the flavors of a cheese plate. So we used to have like some dried fruit in there at times.
Oh, interesting.
Had like a cracker topping, and that we would like finish it in the smoker. We do it a little bit differently now. We don't have the dried fruit in there anymore. It gets expensive and like not everybody gets it, you know, unfortunately. Like it's cool. Maybe we'll run it as a special every now and then. But now we just have like a really solid three cheese macaroni that highlights the smoked Gouda. And we do, we top it with what we call crunchy yum, which is just, my chef Matt named it one day cause he was going through labeling a bunch of stuff one day and he didn't know what to call it. So he just called it crunchy yum. And it's like French's crispy onions and Lay's classic potato chips smashed up together. And it makes like a really good topping for mac and cheese.
Oh, that's cool. So the beans, do the beans have brisket or any other meats in it?
Yeah, mostly scraps. So I mean, it'll have brisket or sometimes it'll have some pork in there too, but we try to, I mean, we always have tons of like brisket trim and whatnot to smoke. We'll smoke it separately and then put it in there, you know.
And the street corn, is that a pretty popular side?
It probably is our most popular. We actually just switched over to doing it. We would char it on the flat top and then mix in like the crema and mayo and butter and like all the herbs and stuff like that. Now we're cooking it more like cream corn and then topping it with like the elote toppings. And I think for presentation, it actually just, it looks a little bit better, you know.
There's nothing like street corn. If people are listening or watching and haven't had it, they need to order it. Like most places that do serve it, love it, and it's from something. It's something. It's from a special place in their heart. So it sounds like it's from.
Right. I'd be willing to bet it's anyone who serves it's probably their most popular side. It gets ordered a lot.
Don't you use a specific type of meat?
Yeah, on the briskets, like so. From day one, we've always started out using prime, and then never ever, which is an industry term for, you know, never ever given growth hormones or antibiotics throughout the entire life of the animal. Rather than the term all natural, just means that they haven't been given hormones or antibiotics in the last like 30 days of its life. So we notice a flavor difference, and those programs tend to be a little bit more consistent too. But recently we switched to, we took it another step further and started doing grass fed. So they're prime, never ever, and then also grass fed all the way from birth to death, no grain finishing. And in the past, I probably never would have used grass fed, but we happen to find, or we're introduced to a grass fed program where the marbling is, it's intense. It's like, it's very rich. The meat itself raw is just a very deep, rich red, and it has like just a pronounced beefiness to it.
Wow.
And it is one of the only briskets too that we can get that aren't like, you know, we open a case and we get like a 25 pounder in there. They're all pretty consistently around like 14, 15 pounds.
Which is helpful for a lot of reasons.
Very much so. And there's very little trimming that we have to do on them. So we do shaping, like there's of course like shaping trimming, we want to make them all look like bullets basically, but aside from that, like there's barely any fat cap trimming that happens, which is great because we try to be no waste as much as possible. So that just means less labor hours that we have to put into that extra trim.
Wow, that's great. And then I know we talked a little bit about sausage, but can you go over the sausages that you have now, and then also too, do you have dessert too?
Yeah, right now we just do banana pudding, and it's my Mimi's recipe, and it's probably like one of the most popular things at the trailer. We have a lot of people, even barbecue people, come and say like, oh, the food was great, but the banana pudding was like really where it's at.
Okay.
And we're going to expand on that when we do the restaurant and everything. But the sausage lineup right now is three. We started out with just a Texas hot guts and a jalapeno cheddar sausage. Which then morphed into like our Tex-Mex sausage now that we're still kind of searching for the name on, because we changed the peppers and then we changed the cheese and we changed some of the spices. And now it kind of is like this, it's a great sausage, but we just don't know what to call it. Mm-hmm. And we realized both of our sausages are pretty spicy. So we had to fit in like a, just kind of more a classic one. Mm-hmm. So we did a smoked kielbasa, like, so a classic Polish sausage with like some garlic and onion in there. And then we have the hot link and then the poblano, gouda, panela, whatever you want to call it.
That's awesome. And then you had said too that you'll be adding or putting different sausages in every so often, like as you guys get creative or want to get creative and do something.
Yeah, once I get my staff, because I have one guy who's dedicating pretty much his whole life to sausage making now.
Wow, and that's awesome.
One assistant for him, and they can just like cruise on doing those three sausages like clockwork every week, then that'll allow me to jump in there and do like a funky creative sausage, you know, once a week or something like that.
That's rad. That's really cool. Now, so now with the brick and mortar location, how is that going to differ, or and what's the menu going to be like, or what are you looking to do?
We're looking to do six meats, seven sides, and four desserts every day. We want to stray away from, I mean, we'll have specials maybe like on weekends, but aside from that, we kind of want to stray away from doing daily specials as far as meats go, because I personally just hate dealing with, and maybe we'll work up to this, but personally for me, it's a pain in the rear to deal with, you know, you do a special and like everyone likes it, and then every day for the rest of your life after that, people come in and ask for that special every day.
That's true.
And, like, you have to train every single customer that, like, look, we only have it on this day.
Yeah, it's only Saturdays, or it's only, yeah.
Right. It's still a problem over at the trailer, like, getting people to know, like, Sunday and Tuesday, we don't serve traditional barbecue. And it seems to be, like, so many people, like, that's the only day they show up for barbecue. And then you still have to, like,
we're on a Thursday. So, they probably want tacos or something, right?
Right. Yeah. So we're gonna stick to doing, you know, the brisket, pork ribs, our three sausages, half chickens, which we're gonna be doing a couple of things. Like, my wife is half Filipino. You met her. Mm-hmm. She and so like we try to draw influence from the food that like her mom makes and has introduced us to. And there's like adobo is
is just awesome. I grew up with a lot of Filipino friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and it's very different from like a Spanish or Mexican adobo.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Most people don't understand. It's very like, it's soy sauce based, mm-hmm. And garlicky and vinegary, and it's got some sugar in there for a little balance of sweetness, but we're going to be doing that on our half chickens.
That's cool.
And then we'll be doing a very classic Texas pork steak. I don't like doing pulled pork. It honestly doesn't sell very well anyway, and it takes up pit space that, mm-hmm. I could be doing something cooler that people will buy, and the pork steaks have been a hit. So brisket ribs, sausage, adobo half chickens, pork steaks, and the pesto stuffed turkey.
Describe the pesto stuffed turkey.
Yeah, it was kind of, I don't want to say it was necessarily an accident, but I didn't intend for it to be what it has become. I served turkey on our trailer the first week we were open, and I could barely sell it. In fact, the first day we were open, the only turkey sale I made was a guy I forced to buy it. And since then, he's bought our turkey every day that he's come back. But I took it off the menu for like a week because I was frustrated at people not wanting the turkey, because I thought, like, our turkey's awesome. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll do something different with it and run it as a special and see the psychology of sales, like if people want it all of a sudden. And that's exactly what happened. So I had these turkey breasts that were already kind of halfway butterflied. So I just finished the job, put pesto in there, and then tied it up and smoked it. And it turned out to be a hit. Loved it. He wrote about it. And that was like the main thing they highlighted in our little excerpt on the 25 Best New article.
That's true. Yeah. I just got my issue just came in yesterday of all, like, you guys all got it like a week ahead of time. Yeah. I saw it online too, but that seems like that's something really, really special. And when a barbecue joint, and especially since you stand behind your turkey, when they do it well, people should order turkey. That's something I've said many, many times, is when someone does turkey well, I know people want brisket, they want sausage, they want order turkey. You won't be disappointed if they have it on the menu. Chances are they do it really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's like turkey and like coleslaw. Those are two things that, or you know, any poultry, because it's like, I think people are so used to having dry turkey or bad coleslaw or those things that it's like when you get a good, really good version of it, it's really special. So
for sure. So then what you said, seven sides, what are the sides that you're looking to?
We'll have the four sides that we have now. We're looking to amp up the beans a little bit. And like, we started serving them with a little bit of like queso fresco on top. But we're also going to start doing like a pickled okra spear on it too, because that's just something that I love. And it makes it a little bit different and like a kind of a cool presentation.
For sure.
And then so we'll have the corn and the mac and the potato salad also. And then we're going to be doing green beans, country style green beans in the summertime. And then we'll switch those over to collard greens in the wintertime. And then spoon bread, which if you've never had that, it's kind of like cornbread casserole, but more like a souffle sort of texture.
Okay.
It's why it's called spoon bread. So we're going to do like jalapeno cheese spoon bread. And then what's the seventh one? Chow chow. So chow chow is like a fermented slaw. It's a really old school deep south side. And it's like, it's real vinegary and, it's kind of related to sauerkraut in a way. So it's like fermented cabbage, but it's fermented with spices, so like turmeric and like red chili flake, and so it's got some like complexity there. And it's a little bit different from, we still have a cabbage item, but it's not coleslaw.
That's so unique. That's really interesting. It's gonna be funny too. It's gonna be like hearing all this, and then now I'll be like, in the coming days when you guys do open and start selling those items, it'll be interesting to see those start to pop up on Instagram, because they're very unique menu items too.
We've had a lot of people see pictures of like the catfish that we did for our Lent special with the chow-chow on the side and be like, what is that? You know, because
I was wondering what that was too.
Cabbage thing, you know, so
that's the turmeric, right, that makes it so yellow,
right? Exactly. We ferment it with the turmeric and the spices. So
wow. And then so do you think when you guys open this week, will you have all those? You won't have all those items, right?
Well, it just depends. Like, I'm still working on getting the like our alternate permit going for this location over here, but we amped up last week getting ready to open this week. So assuming all goes well in the next like 24, 48 hours and we can figure it out, we will have all that stuff. Wow. We're ready to do it. We've already bought everything and we've got it on the schedule.
All right. And then dessert wise, you said you're going to have something, a little additional items?
Yeah, we're going to add, so we're keeping the banana pudding. We're going to add on key lime pie, buttermilk pie, dulce de leche bread pudding. And we'll rotate cobblers. We won't have cobbler all the time, or it'll either be between the bread pudding or the cobbler that we'll rotate, because we want to kind of stick with four in the beginning and then add on a fifth, just to see how we do. But we know cobblers that are gonna, you know, go by season, right, with what's good. And then the bread pudding, the like basically a salted caramel bread pudding.
And what you're giving too with all these options is for someone to come multiple days a week and get different things that aren't just specifically meat based, or like you can get like the turkey and add the different sides. Like you could really do it. It's gonna be great for families, because that's something that I know that you guys touched on in the interview, is that you want a place that like families, the local community, to come to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we want people to, by the time they get to the end of the line, part of the reason, if you think about it, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot of food, but I've talked to several guys who have moved from trailers or small operations into big restaurants, and they're like, I'm like, I can't imagine doing 8 sides a day, and they're like, well, just wait until you're in a restaurant, then you'll understand. Mm-hmm. But my goal is by the time someone gets to the end of the line, they'll have already picked out 3 or 4 things that they're going to come back for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't get it this time because I just already have too much, or I can't eat it all. But like, I gotta come back and get that.
Yeah, that looked really good, and that tray that walked by with that. That's awesome. That's really great. So let's differentiate really quick the hours. You said 7 days a week for the trailer.
That one opens a little bit later in a normal barbecue place because we open with the pub. So we open at noon. They open at noon, and we go until we sell out. But we really try to make it until 9 p.m.
Okay.
And then the place here is going to be open, the restaurant will be open 11 a.m. until also sold out, but we're also going to be offering dinner service, so we're going to shoot to last until about 8.
Wow, that's crazy. What days a week?
Just be Wednesday to Saturday.
Wednesday to Saturday, that's what I thought we had said.
I think our goal is max maybe 5 to 6 days a week, but I think 5 will probably be a good sweet spot, but we're going to start out with 4. We just don't have all the staff yet in the pit space and everything.
And I'll put links to maps for both locations, but how far apart are both locations?
They are 15 minutes apart.
That's not bad at all.
Nah, not at all. They're just hop on Highway 6 and it'll take you straight here to the restaurant. So you could try both in a day pretty easily.
And you should. Why not? I think you should.
Right, yeah. Or go get a Frito pie or something like that and then come here and get a pork steak and dessert.
Or go there and get some food and then go and get a beer and get, do the...
Exactly, right.
So are you going to have alcohol eventually at this new location?
Yeah, we have to get a private club permit out here, which I'm not sure you're how familiar you are with that, but we're in a dry part of the county, and so without making it too complicated, because it is like a legal mess of what you have to do, it's basically a special permit that you get in order to serve alcohol in a dry part of the county on premise.
Okay.
And basically people have to purchase a membership, which it'll be like a
$2. I've heard of that.
Yeah. And then after that, you just have to check to make sure they're a member, and then they can purchase alcohol.
And then it would just be beer and wine, right? For that.
Yeah, we'll do beer and wine. We actually have some people working for us that used to be in the wine industry. And so they know, good pairings. Aside from that, they also know like that there are certain wines that you can do like wine tails with. So we could do like wine margaritas and wine Bloody Marys and stuff like that, because they're like specific, really high alcohol percentage wines that you can use like you would vodka or something like that, or tequila, you know.
That's really interesting. And that's cool. And a lot of people too, I think that would differentiate you guys too, because wine, I know that beer obviously is a great pairing with barbecue, and it's one that like it works right in people's heads. But wine, I've often thought that wine, and eventually I think that people will realize that wine is a great pairing with barbecue.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because you know, this used to be a winery here, and that's how we got linked up with these guys, is they invited us to come serve barbecue outside the winery on Saturday nights when they had live music. And so we actually started having a pretty loyal following that would come out on Saturday nights and get barbecue and have wine. So like, actually there's a pretty solid community of people out here that are already used to having wine with barbecue.
Ah, so you guys are like so many steps ahead of us, of everyone. That's great. But that's really cool. No, I'm glad we got to do this portion, because I think it's important that people know what differentiates you guys and what your menu will be, because it sounds like an extremely exciting menu, and you seem excited about it too.
Thanks. Yeah, we are. I mean, it wouldn't be what it is without, like, we have an incredible team behind us, like an amazing staff, and each person not only wants to come in, do their best, but they want to contribute, you know? And that's where I like some of the sides have come out of their ideas, or the desserts have come out of their ideas, or like what they know and love from home or from their family and stuff like that. And they want to do something. They're as committed to doing something great and unique here as we are.
Nice. That's awesome. And that, yeah, that having a great team is so important in almost anything you do, but it's,
that's, yeah, it's everything, man. It's
especially everything. In the food business.
So much work, you know, you gotta have a good team.
Yeah. Cause I know you're a very hands-on person, but you also have to relinquish certain things to people because you'll go crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Especially if you want to do everything, you know, right and from scratch. There's just not enough hours in the day.
No. And who's Mimi?
Mimi? That's my dad's mom.
Dad's mom. Okay. I knew it was like, I assumed it was a grandparent, but I didn't.
Yeah. She is the one who has a, down her line is a guy who fought in the Battle of San Jacinto for Texas independence from Mexico. So I hold really, really like strong to that.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good way to end it. Well, thanks so much. I'm totally looking forward to visiting, but I'm excited for you guys to watch it from afar, and I'll get this up as soon as I can.
Cool. Thanks so much, Kevin.
All right, take it easy. Have a good day today. Yeah. Good luck with that whole, all that other stuff.
Thanks.
All right, take it easy. All right, bye.
Later.
And as always, if you're digging these, please subscribe, hit the subscribe button or subscribe on your podcast network. That way you don't miss out on any of these. And there's a ton of back episodes. So I want to make sure you get a chance to get through those and peruse those. Also, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links to all my podcasts, all my YouTube stuff, all my visits to butcher shops and barbecue joints and just lots of cool other content. I just can't thank you guys enough for listening and reaching out, letting me know what you think of this and giving me advice as to who I should contact next, because there's a lot of cool people that I've talked to, but there's a lot of people I don't know about or people that I've heard about, but I don't know enough to contact them. So anytime you reach out, I really, really appreciate it. Let me know. But thanks again and enjoy this.